Green Day. Damien doodled on the calendar. It has absolutely nothing to do with anything else. But it's a Green Day. All right, Thursday, the 24th of September, 261st day of the new year. Joining us this very morning, out of the Garberville office, currently.
Yes.
Lieutenant Brent Fabry. Hey, guy.
Good morning. Nice to be back. Nice seeing you.
Short straw? I mean, Jaeger hasn't been here. I mean, it's like he's already coasting to his finish line.
Yes, he is. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I enjoy being here, so it's fine.
Okay. Oh, let's see if we can find a pertinent quote. Oh, let's see. Ah. There we go. Sir William Gilbert.
I don't know who that is.
I have no clue either. And if I do this right, it's going to rhyme.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay.
Good luck.
If you wish in this world to advance, your merits you're bound to enhance. You must stir it and stump it and blow your own trumpet, or trust me, you haven't a chance. And I got it right the first time. That's even more impressive for me. Yeah. Oh. Some of the different things that go on nationally, news events, things of that nature, do you guys have direct impact, or does it impact you guys directly? Yeah, obviously the racial stuff that gets stirred up. I mean, you don't have an awful lot of that even as an opportunity in Southern Humboldt. I mean, you guys are about as monochromatic as we are. I mean, occasionally there may be something.
Stuff that happens nationwide with law enforcement doesn't necessarily affect us directly, but indirectly it does because, people look at us and they attach us to whatever event might have happened somewhere nationally, even though, you know, maybe the information that's out there nationally is only a small portion of maybe what happened, but now they've attached this stigma to all law enforcement.
So it's Philadelphia PD acting goofy, by golly, Garberville.
Correct. The Highway Patrol is probably the same.
That's got to be tough carrying the mantle of the entire nation on your guys' shoulders, particularly when so many of them are kids. You know, and 6 months ago, they would have been the guy driving around instead of the guy inside the squad car.
Yeah, in this, the world that we live in with the constant social media, this information is out there almost instantaneously. And, you know, people draw conclusions from information that they, read about. And, we have some good people. We have a lot of good people working in law enforcement that are involved in your community. They're your coaches. They're your neighbors. And, they're serving the public. And I think people kind of lose sight of that sometimes.
Or maybe they don't know. I mean, somebody sees you at the grocery store right now, unless you're wearing your badge on the outside, nobody's going to know who you are.
Yeah, I'm just a regular person just like you.
Yeah, well, boy, is that a stretch. KINS News. That would be the normal like me. Yes. It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:23. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Brett Fabry. Brett, the challenges that being a cop, particularly one associated with a large jurisdiction, I would think are kind of challenging, and people are always asking you the goofy questions. Here's my goofy question. The shootings that the guys in Arizona were having to deal with over the highway.
Yeah. I haven't heard about those.
It was in the Phoenix, bing, 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 and they didn't know who the guy was, and it was just like random on, I think, I-10.
A drive-by on a freeway?
People driving by being shot at from somewhere.
Oh, okay.
Just, once or twice, the random thing.
Uh-huh.
If something like that happens in our area, what would the what would the response be? How could you deal with it?
It'd be a little, it'd be challenging. It'd be, you know, you have people that have taken a position where they're now firing at vehicles on the freeway. You know, we would work with the allied agencies to try
Like two shots tonight and boom, and then they're gone for 3 or 4 days.
Yeah.
And somewhere in the same neighborhood a week from now.
Extremely challenging. Extremely challenging because you don't have any information to go on. You have no evidence. You hope that, you know, sometimes crimes like that, they like to talk about it. They like to brag to their friends about it. And we hope that, you know, the people that they brag to will come forward and tell us those people because it's extremely dangerous and it's, you know, it's so ridiculous.
What, just pure intuition, obviously. Mm-hmm. What percentage do you think of criminal cases are solved, criminals are apprehended by loose lips?
Well, that's hard to figure
out.
Yeah,
I know. It's a rounded one, but it's not great detective work.
A lot of people don't want to come forward, but, you know, we appreciate the people that want to have a better community, and so they want to come forward to stop these people from committing crimes, especially crimes against people. I think that's very important. You know, be a good witness. Be a good community member. Be a good steward to your community. This is where you live. This is where you work. You choose to be here. So make it a better place to live.
You didn't answer it, though. 20%, 10%, 5%?
I have no idea.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I know you're not involved in criminal investigations on a regular basis
I would think a large percentage could be solved by people coming forward and talking about it.
It's always interesting for me because Arnie Millsap had said, boy, I guess that's decades now, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. That criminals basically are stupid. Yeah. The ones you catch are.
Yes.
Because they do something really stupid, like speeding and you've got, you know, 25 pounds of meth in the back seat.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I think Dan had one this morning. Somebody got pulled over and used marijuana.
Yes.
You know, just reeking through. You know, really? You can't figure that one out?
Yeah.
Yeah, you deserve to go to jail.
Yes.
When you have one of the complicated, and I know that there are a lot of different cases you guys are working on, how do you approach it? Is there a way? Do you canvass the neighborhood and just talk to people, try to find out, or those who might be in the know, or start developing the loose connection of people at the same time that whatever the investigation that might be necessary, like let's say a fatal, is going on? Do you talk to folks that, you know, are known to drive the area, the delivery truck guys and people like that?
Absolutely. And a lot of times, you know, that's one of the reasons why we sometimes like to get it out to the media really soon. If we have a fatal collision that we're maybe challenged on what might have happened, we do put that out. And a lot of times people do call in and say, you know, I drive that highway every day and I notice that vehicle. I remember a case several years ago involving a young girl who died in a crash near 299 and West End Road. We put that out immediately. We found the other vehicle based on information that we'd put out to the media. We had other people that came forward and say, hey, you know, that vehicle passed me farther down the road. I remember that vehicle driving fast. And so we rely on that information. I mean, that is good information because they're providing that information out of the betterment of the community. For no other reason, they just want to provide it to make the community better.
Or they were, obviously, something triggered so they would remember it.
Absolutely.
Yesterday, coming down from Brookings, I can't tell you much other than Washington seems to have a need to drive slow. I mean, like 25 on 101, slow.
And a lot of times that is because they're not familiar with the roadways around here. We are very familiar with some of the roads around here. You know, these are windy roads. They're tricky roads, and they're maybe not familiar with that. So, and also, you know, we get a lot of tourists. We get a lot of tourists that want to check out all the big trees.
No, these were not commercial vehicles. But I had the thought and talked to the fellow that was with me. There are significant areas. Now, Southern Humboldt doesn't have a particular, 36 does, where it doesn't feel like a highway. It feels more like an excursion road. You know, the windy and the trees and all. It doesn't feel like what it is. Is there anything that is done in other areas to remind folks? You know, try to find a posted speed limit in some of the areas. You hardly can. or a reference other than the little milepost markers, U.S. Highway 36 or State Route 36 or whatever it's called. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, when you leave Eureka, you know, it's a two lanes in each direction, so a four-lane freeway, and it's pretty wide open. And, you know, it meanders along until, you know, you get down near Richardson Grove, and then it gets tight again. Then it opens back up, and then down through Confusion Hill, it gets tight again, and then it opens back up, and then, you know, near Laytonville, it tightens back up again, and so it's challenging.
Well,
it's
and Highway 1 drive. Runs into the same thing, too.
Highway 1 is very windy. Yeah, so if you're not familiar with that, be careful.
Words to the wise. It just keeps falling here. It's 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Lieutenant Brett Fabry from the California Highway Patrol out of the Redway office. This time of the year, obviously, things are in flux. You see a lot of stuff. I mean, the traditional harvest season. Does that change things for you? Is there a traditional harvest season anymore?
Yeah, I don't know that there really is a traditional harvest season anymore, but it doesn't really change anything for us. We still go out there and do what we do. You know, here recently we've been really busy with fires. You know, the Lake County fire, we have a lot of people working that. Yeah, we're helping out Lake County. It's a little ways for our guys to go, but a small area like that, they need all the help they can get. And that's a, you know, tragic events down there in Lake County.
Traffic control, things like that, or speed suppression? I can't imagine they're strapping it on, grabbing a hose, and running.
No, we're so what we do is we provide closures at different road locations to protect fire equipment. And it's very challenging. You know, people want to get back into those locations to check their houses, and we have to tell them no because for a couple reasons. It's first of all because of the fire suppression that's still going on, but also it's to protect their property. We don't want to allow people in there because they know that nobody else is in there to go and steal from other people. And that, unfortunately, that does happen.
Were there instances with that one, or was it the one in the foothills where, yeah, they found, I mean, guys were just kind of sitting in the neighborhood in a car waiting for everybody to clear out, and they were anticipating going in and pillaging.
Yeah, I heard some rumor of that going on down in Lake County as well. Yeah, and that's very—it's very sad that people would do that. You know, I mean, these people have lost their homes; they've lost everything that they own, and you know, other people are wanting to go in and steal from the people who didn't lose everything,
or sift through the other stuff.
Yes,
for the valuables.
Yeah.
Now, were your guys? Do they like cruise those neighborhoods that were burnt, or do they get in, or is it kind of protect the perimeter and the sheriff?
We have roving patrols along with hard closures where we try to block off all the roads to allow for a fire department, but as well to protect those property owners. And, you know, I know that there are other ways to get in there, but we do what we can to prevent people from getting back in there. And I know that people want to go in and check their stuff, but we, you know, try to allow the fire department to do their job before
now,
we get them back in there.
Checking it is different than going in and being able to grab, like, say, three or four changes of clothes.
Correct.
Yeah. There are visitation rights. Isn't that what they would call it in the criminal system?
Yeah, at certain times, you know, we have allowed people in, but there are times that we can't allow anybody in, and, you know, they may say, well, hey, the fire's not really close, but a lot of times, you know, when you have fires that occur in the forest, you have stuff that falls down. You have trees that are falling, and you have rock slides, and so a lot of times that's why we're keeping people out, is because we want to keep them safe. We can't allow them to go in there if we think it's going to be unsafe.
Yeah, the woods would be different than, I think, in the middle of town.
Yes.
That was having some of those issues.
Exactly.
So how many You got a couple of guys down there, or CHP Regional sending?
Yeah, so the fires are in Lake County. We have people from my office in Garberville, Ukiah, Santa Rosa, Napa, and Williams are all involved in, you know, whatever's adjoining areas are involved in helping with road closures, because, you know, this fire is burning, you know, on the Napa County side as well, and there's a evacuation center in Calistoga. So obviously we're working with the Napa area as well.
Do you anticipate this kind of stuff?
No, we never planned for this, but, you know, we do have wildfires a lot in Northern California, and when they happen, it's, you know, all hands on deck, and we do everything we can to get the fire department in there to try to, you know, establish their lines to try to prevent any further damage.
So more of a reaction.
Exactly.
And anticipated.
Yeah, because you just never know where the fire is going to start. You know, there's still a fire that's burning up near Denny right now. There's the Lake County fire. There's still the one out near Placerville area out south, southeast of Sacramento. So, yeah, you just never know where those fires are going to start.
You don't have anybody up at Denny. I mean, it's...
No, we don't. We don't have anybody up there right now, but that fire is still burning up there.
It's not unless you're a mountain climber.
Close to containment, but it's pretty steep terrain.
Yeah, something about 80 degrees, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's just some areas you can't do anything with. I had an interesting, I guess it's a, what are they called, Damien? CHP reports? The traffic reports? 7 or 8 pallets dropped on the road, I guess, this morning. More up in the Humboldt Bay area.
Oh.
But do you, things like that, does a lot of stuff fall off rigs, or the people are unaware of that are behind them as they're, you know, they're leaving their mark that you guys have to deal with?
Absolutely. You know, I mean, if you drive along 101, you'll see debris on the shoulders and in the center divide all the time. And a lot of times it's stuff that we have picked up and pushed over to the shoulder and, you know, we're going to have Caltrans pick up. But yeah, people, and you got to secure your load. You got to secure the stuff in the back of your vehicle. I think one thing people don't realize is when you're hauling away all those tree branches and stuff that you have cut down, that actually has to be covered with a tarp.
Legally?
Legally, yes.
So bungee cords don't cut it?
Yeah. They use bungee cords and rope, but normally that actually has to be covered with a tarp.
Yeah, over a tarp or something.
If it's over the rails of your truck, yes.
What if you don't have rails?
I'm talking bed rails. The top of your bed of your truck.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I see. Not the sticks that some people
No.
Well, I know she had a couple on your ski rack out there. I just didn't, you know.
The problem with the debris in the road is that people swerve to miss it, and then they can get involved in a collision, whether they hit another car or whether they go off the road. So that's the biggest issue with stuff that's in the road.
We had a comment yesterday that was talking about not in favor of widening Richardson's Grove. Do you have a lot of situations with big rigs that go through there and either the drivers are novice, haven't gone through there before, or you just get two of them coming at each other and they like clip mirrors and things like that?
Yeah, you know, it's pretty tight through there. And, you know, Caltrans has a plan to, I know that they call it widening, but it's actually not going to be any wider. It's basically going to change the approach angles. To allow vehicles to pass more safely than they can now. So the project itself is not removing old growth redwoods, but is actually a realignment project, which will change some of the approach angles in and out of Richardson Grove.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43. Potpourri continues when we come back.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
Theshoppingshow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Brett Fabry. Brett, a couple of kind of quick bullet shots. Update on Willits. What's for those folks that haven't been through the Willits area, what's the status of that project?
They've made some great progress this summer. I've heard that we may have traffic on it by the end of next summer. They have one more month to go in this construction season, and right now I think they're actually working on setting up erosion control stuff for the wintertime. But, yeah, they've made some great progress, and that project is coming along pretty well.
So they're not going to bring it in phases. They're just going to open.
I believe so, but I'm not for sure on that. But, yeah, it's getting close.
That's got to be exciting and relieving for you.
Yes.
You said you wanted to talk quick about school buses and some of those challenges. It's school season. Yeah, everybody knows what the rules are, but that doesn't necessarily mean everybody's following them.
Yeah, you know, just a reminder, you know, hey, school's back in session. So, you know, make sure you're watching those signs for, 25 when children are present. And, you know, everybody knows when that is. It's, you know, in the early morning until the, late afternoon. And school buses, you know, the reason for those red lights is that there's kids either getting on or off the bus, and some of them are actually going to be crossing the road. So, you know, be very, very careful. You know, nobody wants to be involved in an accident involving a child. And so don't be that person. Yeah.
And teach your kids, too.
Teach your kids, yes. Yeah. Look both ways.
You'd mentioned before the show there was a couple big rig situations down south. Anything extraordinary about them or just that events occurred?
Yeah, we had two big rig crashes in 2 days. One went off the road. Looks like was a sleepy driver. And then we had another one this morning near Wiat that has one lane closed. But, just an anomaly of, you know, having a couple crashes involving big rigs.
Even the pros aren't necessarily 100% dialed in all the
Absolutely,
time.
Absolutely, yes.
So defensive works everywhere.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. during one of the breaks, we were talking about colors of the striping in the streets. And I didn't know it. Damien had no clue. I just think that's cool curiosity. I mean, you got 20 seconds, yeah. Go.
So we were talking about striping. So if you're unsure of whether you're turning from a lane and maybe it's you're turning to another roadway and you don't know if it's a one-way street or a two-way street, is look at the line in the middle. One-way streets have white lines breaking up the lanes, and a two-way street has yellow lines breaking up the two separate lanes. So yellow for two-way traffic and white for lanes in the same direction.
Much more education than what anything Jaeger would have brought in. Thanks, Brett.
Thank you.
Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you then.